Good morning. I just have one announcement and also some information to provide the congregation before we begin our worship. At our last two voters' meetings we've had here at Zion, we've discussed the possibility of calling a deaconess to serve here at Zion. This woman would oversee our preschool outreach, our youth group, and also would provide additional ministry to our elderly members and also help support our women's ministries. At the last voters' meeting we had, the voters authorized us to create a call committee to begin reviewing applicants. And we had an initial list of seven candidates. Yesterday we met and we were able to narrow that list down to three. But also, according to Zion's church constitution, any member of Zion may also nominate a candidate for us to consider. So we wanted to make sure we informed the congregation of that right that you have, and that if any of you are interested in nominating a deaconess to us to consider as a called position here at Zion, please share that name with myself or Mike Krager, who's the chair of our call committee, so that we have time to gather the appropriate information. It's our hope that within the next 2 weeks, we would be able to interview all of our candidates and further narrow that call list down so that we could present it to the congregation sometime in April. So again, if you have any names you'd like for us to consider, please let me know or Mike Krager. The Old Testament reading for this, the fourth Sunday in Lent, is from the 21st chapter of Numbers. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from the second chapter of Ephesians. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Everyone knows a little bit about the Exodus, how God's people were slaves in Egypt. God brought them out through the Red Sea on dry ground, and God fed them with manna from heaven. God did great things for his people. And you would think his people would be grateful. Sometimes they were. Sometimes they weren't. There were a lot of times they were mad at God. They didn't like the manna he gave them to eat, even though it was from heaven. They shattered that appreciation they should have had for God. The people should have loved God for all that he had done for them, but they did not love God like they should. They took the love they should have had for God and they smashed it to pieces. God's people, the Israelites, were broken people. The love they should have had for God was broken. The faithfulness they should have had toward God was cracked. They were a broken people. I like to compare the people of Israel sometimes to a porcelain mug, but not a porcelain mug that works and can hold coffee or cocoa inside. The people of Israel were broken. Their lack of attitude toward God or gratitude toward God, it made a crack in their hearts. And the faithfulness they should have had toward God was completely broken off. The love they should have had toward God was cracked up into tiny pieces. They were broken. But are we really any different than them? When it comes to showing simple gratitude to God for the simplest of things in our lives, we're really no different than the Israelites. We are a broken people who can't even be satisfied with the simple things we're given. For example, I bet if we were provided manna from heaven, and only manna from heaven to eat for a week or a month, we would also grow dissatisfied and we'd complain. If you were given only manna to eat for a year, I bet we would all be grumbling under our breaths. And if we ate only manna for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, we would also take our gratitude to God and break that apart. We are also a broken people. We're no different than the Israelites. When it comes to faithfulness, our faithfulness toward God is not nearly as solid as it should be. We're like a loose handle on a mug. Twist us just a little bit and our faithfulness to God will break completely off. It's almost embarrassing how we can break off from God so easily sometimes. And sometimes it's over the simplest thing, like just following his word that he's written down, or shaping our lives to his desires rather than our own desires. We're really more like the Israelites than we realize. We are also called to love God more than anything else in our life. We are called to love God more than anyone or anything in our lives. That love and God above everything else should wrap around us, bind us tightly so that we can live faithful lives to each other and to God. But our love for God is broken. Beyond broken, we will love him 1 minute and ignore him the next. Or we might not even think about God for hours or even days. We're called to love God all the time, but we don't. We're broken. If you have a mug, you can drink coffee from it. Hard to do when there's a broken handle. Hard to drink cocoa when there's a crack. The cocoa just seeps out all over your hand. If you have a porcelain mug and take a hammer, smashing it to smithereens where there's nothing left but dust, you can't drink from it. People of Israel were broken. So what should God do with a people like Israel who are so broken, so useless? We are broken. What should God really do with a people like us who are so broken? If you have a broken mug in your kitchen cabinet, there's only one thing to do with it. A broken mug is no good. You just have to throw it away and get a new mug. Well, we really are a broken people. What should God do with us? If God was wise, he should just throw us away and start over. That's what he should do. But God doesn't want to be wise with you. He wants to show you love. A love none of us deserve. A love that is given. If God was smart, he should just get rid of us. We're unfaithful to him, and we will continue to be unfaithful to him at points throughout our whole lives. But God doesn't want to do what is smart when it comes to you. He chooses to be merciful to you, even when we are unfaithful. If God had any sense, he should just get rid of us. 1 minute we love him, we're singing his praises, and the next minute we're mad at him for something we may be going through in life. But God never stays with you because you always love him. God stays with you because God always loves you. God has chosen to deal with each of you according to his mercy. And today Jesus spoke to you and said this about you. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. After the Exodus, God could have destroyed his people, Israel. He could have. He would have had every right to get rid of his people, Israel. But God did not want to just throw away this broken people. He loved them too much. So God picked up all their broken pieces and welded them back together as a people he would continue to call to repentance and forgive their sin and nurture them as any loving parent would. That is how God chose to deal with the people of Israel. And God has chosen to deal with you in the same way. We're all broken. We all are. And we realize this especially during Lent. Our faithfulness has broken off so many times. When it comes to our love for God, we can have hard hearts that smash any love to God to smithereens. And God could have swept us up and thrown us out. But that's not who God is. God is merciful. And what it means to be merciful is to show mercy to people, to give mercy to people, especially people who don't deserve it. And that's us. God chooses to give you mercy, and he does that through Christ. This is what Jesus said to you today, and I hope you truly take what Jesus said to heart, because he was speaking to you. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. In order that you might be saved through him. Jesus Christ died on a cross to save you. He died on a cross to save broken you because he cares about you that much. Jesus died on the cross to cover all of the cracks in our faithfulness. Jesus did that for you because he is perfectly faithful to you and will never crack in his faithfulness to you. Jesus will never break away from you. He could never break off from you. He's bound to you forever through your baptism. And Jesus could never, not in a million years, smash you to smithereens because you are useless to him. You mean too much to him. And to show you how much you mean to him, Jesus went to the cross in your place. Not only did Jesus die for us because he loves us, Jesus died for us who are as broken as we are. Now that's love. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.